your church, right? And we had a wonderful Vision Sunday, and what God has in store for us this year, and how really it's our desire, and as a church, what we're all about is aligning with the mission of Christ, right? So as a church, you can have a lot of things that you can align with. There's a lot of missions that you can have and whatever. We want to be on mission with Jesus. We want to align ourselves with the mission of Christ, and we believe that Jesus wants to bring, he wants to bring newness, right? He wants to make all things what? Right, yeah. God was like the most tepid response. New? There's no wrong answer, folks. No, so actually there is. So he wants to bring newness. He wants to bring newness. He's making, behold, I'm making all things new. He wants to bring newness to our city. That you know, in a world that's broken, that's despairing, we have the opportunity to point others to Jesus, right? We have the opportunity to go, hey, Jesus makes all things new. And we get to bring that newness into our city, into our workplaces, into the places that we shop, into our families. So we get to be like newness agents of Jesus. And it's really cool. And so we're here for a purpose, right? And our church is here for a purpose. We're not just here because all of us didn't like other churches, and so we came to form one. That's not how our church came to be. We're here for a purpose. We're here for a reason. That purpose that God has placed on our hearts to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. We're praying for our friends. Some of you guys kind of wrote some names down and said, hey, would you pray for these friends of mine? I want to share my testimony with them, or I want to help bring newness into their lives. And so we've been praying for your friends. And if you have friends and you're just like, hey, you know, I want to share my faith with them, they can use a touch from the Lord. They could use healing in their lives. They could use freedom in their lives. Just go ahead and just write their first name down and stick it on the cross, and we promise to pray for them. And we'll pray that God does a work in their lives. All right? And so that's why this morning what we're doing is we're starting a new series, and it's called Greater Together. And I believe that as the church, we are so much greater together. And we're talking about how God made us so that we can accomplish so much more together than we can apart. That's just the way that God made us to be. You know, it's his fault, not mine. All right? That he made us so that we're greater when we're together, that we can do more when we're together than we can when we're apart. So when we come together as a church, we can change the city for the greater glory of God. All right? So that's what we're all about. We're all about, okay, God, what's your heart for our city? We seek the Lord. We say, God, what's your heart for our city? What's your heart for our schools here? What's your heart for our businesses? Okay, that's your heart? Okay, I'm going to go help make that happen, right? So we find out what's on God's heart, and we help to manifest that into our city, into reality. So that's what we want to do. And we can do that when we're together. And so I want to share a little story with you, and it kind of goes like this. How many of you have ever been to like a county fair where there's like a horse pull? Y'all know what a horse pull is? I know. Alito people. And that's a given. You didn't have to raise your hand. But it says, at a Midwestern fair, many spectators gathered for an old-fashioned horse pull. And a horse pull is where various weights are put on a horse-drawn sled, and they're pulled along the ground. So they're basically trying to see how much a horse can pull, okay? And the grand champion horse pulled a sled with 4,500 pounds on it. That's a lot. That's pretty heavy. 4,500 pounds, okay? And the runner-up was pretty close with a 4,400-pound pull. And some of the men wondered what the two horses could pull if hitched together. So like, okay, this one can pull 4,500, this one can pull 4,400, let's hitch them together. And common sense says, well, they can pull about 9,000 pounds, right? And so they hitched them together, and they pulled them together, and separately, they totaled about 9,000 pounds, but when they were hitched together and they're working together, they pulled over 12,000 pounds. So something happens when we work together. There's just something happens that when we work together. That's sort of like Andy. I think if Andy was pulling weights, he'd pull like 3,000 pounds, right? But if you hitched us both up together, he'd be pulling like 1,200. And so... But you know, I mean, when we work together, our strength increases exponentially. It's so cool, and that's the way that God made us, and it's so awesome. And so there's power in together. There is power in together. There's power in unity. That's just how God made us, and that's pretty awesome, okay? But how do we experience that power in church, in a church setting? So we're talking about greater together for the next few weeks. And how do we experience that in a church setting? How can we grow, like we talked about last week? How can we become a force for change in our community? These are things that we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. I get so excited because it happens when we do it together. It happens when we lock arms. It happens when we join forces, right? And how can we do that? How can we reach the potential that God has placed on us as a church? We're going to talk about that. Let's pray first, okay? Okay. Father, I just thank you so much for the way that you made us. God, you made us to do life together. You made us to serve together. You made us to be a church that is bringing your newness to our city, and we're doing it together, God, that is growing in you together, that's worshiping you together. God, I thank you so much. We love you, God, and we praise you. Open your word to us. Let it come alive in us. Let it bring change in our hearts and transformation. God, you're so wonderful. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, don't you love it together? You know, here's one of the things. This is just an aside. This is free. I'm not charging you for this little bit of information. But I always get so much more out of corporate worship. Like you know, I love to worship by myself. I do, and I do that on a regular basis. It's just part of my life to you know, driving in the car and put on some worship music and singing to the Lord and encountering God and all that. But you know what? I feel like when we come together and we worship together, there is like this greater sense of the Lord's presence. There's this greater sense of worship. I feel like I get more from corporate worship than I do from private worship. And I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but yeah, corporate worship is exciting. And there's actually an event tonight at the Quad Cities Prayer Center. And I didn't mean to make a commercial for them, but at 6:30 tonight over at the North Park Mall, there are going to be like a dozen churches worshiping together. At least, in an event called Saturate. And so if you're ever just sort of like, yeah, I want to join some other churches and join some other people, I want to encounter God in a way where we're doing it together and experiencing the exponential power of God, go check that out. That's tonight at 6:30. I just love worshiping together. And so we're going to start, though, by taking a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 21, and 25 through 26. And some of you guys, this is going to be really familiar scripture, and I remember the first time I ever read it when I was a kid. You can imagine like an 11-year-old reading this passage and going, what? A giant ear? Huh? You know, a giant eyeball? And God's talking about, you know, the body. And it says, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. I love that part. Can I just say that again? If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? And the answer is no, right? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. This makes for harmony among the members so that all members care for each other. I wish I could just stop right there and spend the morning right there on that sentence. All members care for each other. Whew. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. Tell the person next to you, you're part of the body. You're part of the body. Yeah. Just say, you're an exceptionally good-looking part of the body. You might want to say that. Especially if you're talking to like Eric, tell him, you're an exceptionally good-looking part of the body. So, yeah. Okay? If you remember one thing this morning, like if you're saying, hey, you know, I only have enough brain space to remember one thing today, my hard drive is full, I want you to remember this. We're greater together when we realize we're all necessary parts of the church, right? When Paul's talking about the body, he's talking about the church, the body of Christ, okay? We are greater together when we realize that we're all necessary parts of the church. Every one of us is necessary. There's not a single expendable part in the church. I love that Paul doesn't say, if you're a skin tag, you're out of here. You know what I mean? if you're an appendix, if you're the tonsils, you know, none of us are the tonsils of the body of Christ or the appendix or the skin tag. None of us are the mole that needs to be removed. Okay? We're all necessary parts of the body. We're all necessary parts of the church. And no matter who you are, no matter how connected that you feel, because sometimes we feel disconnected from the body, don't we? And I know a lot of people say, I just don't feel connected. I'm not feeling like I'm connecting. I don't feel connected. And people will say that a lot, but it doesn't change the fact that they're a necessary part of the body. And how we feel about ourselves and how connected we feel, how much we feel like we belong or don't belong or whatever, you're a necessary part of the body. You're a necessary part of Mercy Vineyard. You're a necessary part of the church, regardless of how connected you feel, how talented you feel, how righteous you feel, how much you feel like you're living for the Lord or not living for the Lord or whatever. You know what? If you're sitting here today and you have not made a decision to follow Jesus, you're still a necessary part of the body. So that might like rub some people the wrong way, really bad. You know, some of you might chafe by that statement, but you're still a necessary part of the body. If you're here, if you're sitting in a seat today and breath is in your lungs and your heart is beating, you are a necessary part of the body of Christ. Okay? All of us are necessary. We're needed in the church, and God has a purpose for you that's so much greater than anything you could possibly do on your own. Anything that you could possibly do on your own. You know, I could leave this church today, and I can go, you know what, I'm out of here, I'm done with church, I'm just going to go worship on my own, I'm just going to kind of do my own thing, I'm going to follow God, I don't need church, I don't need to be a part of that whole thing, I can be a Christian without church. But you know what happens when I step out? Well, then there goes camp. You know, then there's 30 abused and neglected foster children that won't experience the love of God this summer because I stepped out, right? So I step out and go, you know, I don't need to be a part of the body. I can go do my own thing, whatever. Well, then there's needs that aren't being met. Then there's people that I'm not praying for. Then there's community that I'm not experiencing. And so we are all necessary parts of the body. And Paul says we're all needed. We're all needed. We're all necessary parts. All right? And when we're so much greater together, right? So I can step out and I can sort of do my own thing. And so, you know, I'm going to have my own little church at home, and I'm going to get up on Sundays and I'm just going to pick up my guitar, and my boys and I, we're going to sing, and my wife, we're going to do our own little thing. But you know what? Suddenly, because we're not connected to the body, we're not connected to other people, we don't have that exponential strength going, exponential efforts, then our little thing here of reaching the city and making a difference and being the change that we want to be, all of a sudden our ability to bring change and to bring newness to our city goes from this to this, right? And so we think that, oh, you know, if I just kind of go and whatever, you know, that my contribution doesn't make any difference at all. But you know what? If you think that you're going to leave 1%, you're going to leave with your little 1%, and it's not going to make a difference, but you don't leave with a little 1%. You leave with like 10%. You take away 10% of the strength of the church, not just your little 1%. So we have to understand that our efforts are exponential. They're exponential, and we're greater together than we are apart, all right? And so that's the way God made us. And so so take it up with the Lord if you don't like that, but that's how it is, all right? So we're needed in the church, and God has purpose for you here, and that purpose is far greater than anything that you can do on your own. So if you remember that one thing, realize is that we're greater together when we realize that we're all necessary parts of the church. We're all necessary parts of the body. And so the other thing is this, is we're greater together when we actively participate in the church family. Isn't that awesome that, like, we make the church great simply by walking through the doors? Like, just simply when you walk through the door this morning, and you're like, hopefully it smelled like coffee. it's an old building. You know, when you walk through the doors this morning, and you smelled the coffee, and you saw people kind of talking and mingling and whatever, and you went and you found your way to your seat, you know, just by simply walking through the door, you made this a better church. You made this a better place. Just by simply coming in here, you made Mercy Vineyard a better church. When we participate in the family of God, it makes it better. And one of the ways, like I said, by making the body greater is simply just being here. Right? Has anybody here ever thrown a party and like nobody showed up? Yeah. You know, you guys, there was this little girl back in seventh grade and she threw a birthday party and invited dozens of people, and only one person showed up, and she had all this food left over, and she went to bed crying that night. And I was that little girl. And, you know, but it's like that. You know, you know that when you throw a party, even if your party preparations might be, and, you know, the food might not have turned out the way that you wanted it to, and maybe, you know, you just couldn't get the right playlist and all that stuff, you know that if you have a bunch of people show up at that party, none of those things matter, because it's going to be a party, right? It's going to be awesome, okay? And so just by walking through the door, you make the church a better place, all right? And so in order for a community to have an impact, in order for a community to experience meaningful and life-giving friendships, and in order for a community to challenge each other to grow, they have to gather. They have to gather together. They have to be together, right? And so the average church attender, I don't know if you guys knew this, but you know on average now, statistics say the average church attender attends 3 out of every 8 Sundays. And so they come 3 out of every 8 Sundays and consider themselves, you know, part of the church. This is my home church. This is my place. These are my tribe. And they're there 3 out of every 8 Sundays. But the problem with that is that the church suffers for that, right? The church suffers that because it loses its strength. It loses its exponential strength. And the individuals suffer because they're missing out on God's best. And so a lot of us can appreciate the idea of community, right? We love community. It's like one of those words, whenever you say community to somebody, they go, yeah, I love community. Dude, I want to start a ranch, and we're all going to get together and have a community, you know? Or I just love getting together with people. I love community. I love that. I love that. Love it. Community, right? The problem with community is that it's powerful when we participate in community. So it's not enough just to say, I'm a part of this community, because you know you're going to benefit from the community. And so when you're going through just a really rough time, you're going through a rough patch in your life, you really could use somebody to pray for you. You really could use somebody to put their arm around you. Maybe you've got a need, and you just need, you know, a miracle to happen. You know, in community, miracles happen. Needs are met. People put their arms around each other. They pray for each other. They love each other. In community, the worship experience gets exponentially more powerful, right? And so in community, that happens. But in order to experience the benefits of community, you got to be in community, right? I know that sounds like such a, like, yeah, no kidding, Lee. 1 + 1 = 2. Next, you know. But that's the way community works, is when we sort of kind of wrap our lives around it and go, I want to be a part of that community. You know what? When I want to go do something fun, you know who I'm going to do? I'm going to call my friends from my community. You know, last week was my birthday. And you know who I wanted to celebrate with? People from my community. You know, I just wanted, hey, let's get together with a few friends from church. Let's do this. Whatever, you know. And when I'm thinking to myself, I've got an opening in my calendar this week, and I could get together with lunch for lunch with somebody. Who do I want to get together with, you know, for lunch with? Who do you think I call? Somebody from my community, somebody from my church, you know. And that's how I like to do life. We like to do life together. All right. So in order for community to be impactful in our lives, we have to participate in community. And so, it's no wonder that God says in Hebrews 10:25, He says, "Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His returning is drawing near." All right? So God knows that the church is stronger. God knows that the church is more dynamic. God knows that the church is more impactful when gathering together is important to us. And we say, hey, I want to gather with my community. I want to be with my church. And so some of you might be thinking, is this just a commercial for going to church? It is. And because God knows that community is powerful and the church is powerful when we say, hey, you know what? I'm there worshiping. I'm with my tribe, and I'm participating in community, and that's how it works. And we're going to be able to pull 12,000 pounds instead of 4,000 pounds, okay? And so we feel it. You know, the church, the body feels it when there's missing parts of the body, right? We're all part of the body. We miss you. We love you. We're better when you're here. When we're strengthening friendships, when we're worshiping, we're serving Jesus together. Guess what? You matter, right? Because if you lost your foot today, you would go, that foot really mattered to me, right? You ever, like, injure something? You're like, I never realized I leaned so heavily on that pinky, you know? what am I going to do without it, you know? It's like we take certain body parts for granted until we injure them, and we're like, oh, gosh, you know? I injured my back, which, you know, oh, it was huge. Injured my back last August, and I couldn't get out of bed, and I just thought, I don't even think about my back. Who thinks about their back until it itches, right? And then you think about it all the time until you can get it to stop itching. But it's like nobody really thinks it. Then you injure it, and you're like, oh, my word. Stupid back. No, wait, back. I love you. You're not stupid. Come back. You have those arguments with your body part, like you do with your car. I hate your car. You won't start. No, wait. I love you. Start for me. You know? But we, you know, we get that way with our body parts, okay? So we feel it. We feel it when that part of the body isn't here. You matter, okay? Remember the story of the horses, right? We experience exponential joy. We experience exponential power when we're together. We can share each other's burdens. We have a greater impact on our city when we participate. And not only do we experience that, but you know who else experiences awesome community when we participate in the body of Christ? Our children do, right? Because our kids are meeting and they're forming relationships. You know, I have lifelong friendships today that I met in kids' church. You know that? There's these two twin brothers. I grew up with them. I met them in kids' church. And I will not let them forget the fact that the very first day that I met them in kids' church, they were wearing blue jeans and T-shirts that had pictures of burning roller skates on them that said hot roller. I won't let them forget that. This was back in the 80s, you know. And still, when I'm like, hey, Mark, hot roller, you know. And so, but I'm still friends with them today, because I met them in kids' church, because my parents were part of community, and I was part of community, and we were there, and we said, hey, you're a part, you know, we're a part of loving each other. And so friendships are formed when we participate in community. We're greater together when we realize that we're all necessary parts of the church. We're all necessary parts. And so the last thing is this. We're greater together when we let Christ-centered love be the glue that holds us together. We let a Christ-centered love be the glue that holds us together. You know, there's a lot of things that can hold you to a church, right? There's a lot of reasons one can have for being a part of a church community. You can be a part because you feel like it helps you grow spiritually, right? So, yeah, I feel like it helps me grow spiritually here. I'm challenged, whatever. But you might eventually decide, you know, it's just not deep enough there. I'm gonna go somewhere else. It's just not deep enough there. Or you can be a part of church because you connect with the worship, and eventually you can go, well, I used to connect with the worship here, but I feel like they just sing the same songs all the time. It's just the same old thing, or it's, you know what, it's not grandma's worship. I liked grandma's worship, you know, or it's not whatever. And so, like, you can be a part of it for that reason, but you might get tired of singing the same song. Or you can even be a part of a community because it's like, well, that's the way I've always done it, you know. I grew up at that church, or my mom went to that church, or whatever, and it sort of becomes a tradition, and that's okay, but even the best traditions can turn into drudgery, can't they? You know, even the best things can feel like drudgery. But when we have a true Christ-centered love for God, right, we have a true Christ-centered love for each other, it's like the glue that holds us together through thick and thin. It's that love. I stay here because I love you. I stay here because I love Jesus and I love you, and that's the glue that holds us together. That's a great reason, because it's that Christ-centered love for God and each other that holds us together through hard times, right? Because you're going to go through hard times. If you're at a church for longer than like a few months, guess what? Somebody's going to make you mad, right? There's not going to be any mints in the bowl, right? Coffee might be bad. Somebody might try to sell you weed in the parking lot, which is very, very possible here, you know. But there just something might come along that where you just go, man, I don't want to be there anymore, you know. Something's going to happen. But this Christ-centered love holds us together. It holds us together, and it's like the glue, okay? And true Christ-centered love, it moves us to be in community with each other, whether we're lovable or not, all right? Because people are going to get unlovable. I'm going to get unlovable. If I haven't offended you yet, just give it time. Okay? Just give it time. And it compels us, Christ-centered love compels us to forgive each other when we're being ugly. It does. And you know what? Sometimes people get ugly when they're on mission together. Just come serve at camp. Just come serve at camp. We love camp here. We love a camp. When you're working on 4 hours of sleep at night after the last night, somebody's probably going to get on your nerves. And it's probably going to be the happy person. Or it's probably going to be the person that has lost the ability to give direction with grace, you know. But true Christ-centered love, it forgives, and it says, you might not be lovable right now, but I love you anyway, because we're part of community, we're part of family together, right? And we're on mission together, and true Christ-centered love is the glue that holds us together. In John 13:35, Jesus said, your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Okay, catch that? Like how mind-blowing that is? The proof that we belong to Jesus is not in a Christian t-shirt we might wear, which thank God I haven't seen one in a long time. It's not in the radio station that we listen to. It's not in, like, you know, the things that we do per se, but it's in our love for each other. That's where the proof is that we love Jesus. And so when we talk to people, and maybe you've talked to somebody like, you know, who are just like totally offended by someone at church, or so like put off by some brother or sister in the Lord, and they're just like, you know, not afraid to just kind of go bleh and vomit and vent, as they say. Like, it's so funny, we invent words to make unrighteous things sound righteous, don't we? Because I just needed to vent. Really? The Bible says you just gossiped all over me. But anyway, it's our love for each other. It's our love for each other that proves that we're His. And so if you're struggling to love, I want to pray that God will help you grow in love towards Him, and grow in love towards the church, warts and all. Warts and all. That's one of the things we've got to understand. Like, when we say we love the church, it's like, I love the church, warts and all, I love the church. You know, who was it? Augustine, who said, just close your ears if you're small here, but like Augustine said, you know, the church is a whore, but she's my mother. You know, in other words, the church is just full of flaws. The church is less than perfect. But guess what? The church is the most important person in my life. Okay? And the church is where I'm nourished. And the church is where I'm nurtured and I'm able to serve. And so we love warts and all. And so what I want to do just really quickly here, I want to do like two real quick prayers this morning. But the first thing I want to do is this, is I want to pray for every person here. Why don't we do this? Let's do this real quick, and we'll do it kind of undramatically. But why don't you just close your eyes just for a minute here? Because I don't want anybody looking around. This is kind of personal.